my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout, church. Amen. Wow. Wow, y'all sound so good today. Open your Bible to the New Testament, please. The New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. We're in a series right now called Why? Why? You know, we're looking at the why of Church on the Rock. But you know, really we're going even deeper than that because I want you to evaluate the why of your life. Every one of us in this room, those watching all over the world on the internet, we all face burnout, don't we? It's a busy world and it's getting busier. And the Bible says, the Bible actually tells us that in the last days, the tactic of the devil is to wear the saints out. Get you so busy, you're worn out, you don't have enough energy to go to church, serve at church, fulfill your mission, fulfill your calling, and do all that God's called you to do. We all face burnout, but I want to share with you today and all month how to overcome it, how to move beyond it. And that is when you know the why behind the what. You know, here at Church on the Rock, we're celebrating 34 years at Church on the Rock. And to God be the glory, you know, for 3.5 decades, I've had the privilege, 3.5 decades, I've had the privilege of being your pastor. And I'm more excited today than I was 34 years ago when we left our family, we left our friends, we left our security, we left our retirement package, our health insurance. We left it all to come here, pioneer and plant Church on the Rock with 35 people in the St. Peter's Library. I'm more excited today to be your pastor than I was 34 years ago. 3.5 decades. Most churches at that age are getting old, decrepit, rusty, crusty, irrelevant. But I'm excited because I believe the next 34 years will be greater than these 34 years. Because we're investing in the next generation, right, church? So, you see, I'm not burnt out today. I'm more excited. I was up at 5:30 this morning walking my dog, making my confessions, praying for you. Couldn't wait to get to church. 4 services every weekend. Couldn't wait. Why? Because I know the why behind the what. You see, the why is the motive. The why is the motivation. They tell us that the nines and the tens of the business world and the sports world never have to have someone motivate them. They tell us that the movers and the shakers in the sports arena, you don't have to motivate them. They know how to self-motivate. And you know, how do you self-motivate? Zig Ziglar taught us how. How do you self-motivate? It's when you have the right motivation. When you know the motive behind what you're doing. When you know the why, it gives you the energy. It gives you the synergy. It gives you the motivation. It gives you the drive. It gives you to thrive and not survive with your life. When you know the why. Well, we know the why at Church on the Rock. I wouldn't go to a church. I would definitely never give to a church. I'd never serve in a church that didn't have a clear mission, a clear vision, a clear direction. And you know, ours hasn't changed in 34 years. 34 years ago, I went over by Fifi Baptist Church in St. Louis to TCI Cable, and we would tape 5 30-minute programs every Monday, television. And 34 years ago, when we started on television, I ended every program, every broadcast with this. Don't forget, God is for you. Guess what? We're still saying the same thing. What's the mission of Church on the Rock? To lead people to a God who is for them and help them discover His purpose for their life. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. So the why behind Church on the Rock, we talked about it last week. We said number one is we're here to help people know God. We're here to help people know God and then grow in God and then become like God. We talked about it all last weekend in all of our services. Today, number two, the why does Church on the Rock exist? Why is it here? Why do we have 60 full-time, part-time employees? Why do we have a quarter of a million square footage? Why do we have this multi-million dollar budget? Why are we, instead of just dying off and giving up and shrinking, why are we spreading our wings, enlarging our territory, praying the prayer of Jabez? Why are we doing that? Because we want to help people, number two, find freedom. We want to help people find freedom. Kim and I, you know, we grew up in the church. She grew up in one denomination. I grew up in another. They were great churches, great people. But you know what I would see? My dad was a deacon. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent. And we'd see people, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Kim grew up in a Baptist church. And talk about two ends of the spectrum there. But God brought us together for such a time as this. Amen. And you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and great church, great people. Again, my dad was a deacon, my mom, Sunday school superintendent. But I would see people shout on Sunday, but trip up all during the week. I'd see them shout and praise God and run the aisles and jump across. Well, you haven't been in church until you see people run across the top of the pews. I've seen it, been there, done that. Well, I didn't do that. I seen it, didn't get the T-shirt. And run across, and Jericho March, you know, run around the church, shout, scream, you know, all this stuff. I've seen them do that. They just have a wonderful time on Sunday, but then I saw them not be free, trip up on the same thing month after month, year after year. I would see that. I would say something's not right here. They have the shout on Sunday, but they trip over things. And the same things they don't get free from. Habits, hang-ups, hurts. And they trip over those all week long. There's something got to be not quite right there. And so that's why Kim and I came here and started Church on the Rock 34 years ago, is we wanted to help people find freedom. And the fact all of us as Christians here today, Christ followers, we've been given the gift of freedom. But we have to understand that even though we've been given the gift of freedom, we have to learn to walk it out every day of our life. You know, if you're visiting here today for the first time, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. But don't get your eyes on us. Because we're not perfect, we're in process, and we're enjoying the process, but we're not where we want to be, but we're definitely, thank God, not where we used to be. So it's important that we understand that in Christianity, in church, there's no perfect people. We're in process. Yeah, we've been given the gift of freedom, but we have to spend the rest of our life processing it, learning to walk it out and get free in areas of our life. You see, everyone here today, a couple thousand of us on this campus, and those watching by television, including myself, we have areas of our life that we're still working on to get free. We haven't completed, we haven't arrived, and it's very important that we understand that as Christ followers, and that those of you that are thinking about being a Christ follower, becoming a Christian, that you understand that even though when we become a Christian, we're given the gift of freedom, but it takes us a lifetime to learn how to walk it out. Can I give you an illustration from the Bible? How about Lazarus? Do you all remember when Lazarus, who was a friend of Jesus, when he died? And do you remember Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You ever think about it? He had to name him because if he just said, come forth, all the dead in the cemetery would have come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did, didn't he? But then you know what? They had to unwrap the grave clothes. Come on. They had to unwrap. He was free. He was brought to life. But they still had to unwrap the grave clothes. You and I got stuff on us like an onion has layers that it takes time and process and partnership with God for us to take those layers off. We're talking about, why does Church on the Rock exist? Why do we have 4 services on a weekend and 1 on Wednesday night? Oh, why do we have the growth track classes over there? Why is Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night? Why do we have freedom classes, small groups on Sunday morning? Oh, why do we have a class on the baptism and the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings in the North Campus? Because we're here. We exist to help people find freedom. You know, I've counseled hundreds of people in 40 years of ministry. And so many people, when you try to counsel them and help them, they're stuck in life because of a hurt, of a negative experience, of a hang-up, of a habit, of a divorce, of abortion, of incest, of alcoholism, a drug addiction, or something that they have an addiction to, that they can't seem to get beyond it and move on with their life. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus came to give us the gift of freedom. The Bible says, he that knows the Son, free and free indeed. The Bible says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus wants us to be free from our past. If I never get free from my past and the hurt and the negative and the hang-up and the habits, if I never get free from my past, it'll rob me of what God has planned for my future. I've got to learn how to give it to God and get set free. So are you ready, church? I want to give you 5 ways to do that today. Are you ready? Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, if we could. A lot of scripture at the beginning, but then we'll come to the 5 points, takeaways on how you and I begin to experience the freedom in our life. God wants us free in every area of our life. And you know, it's a process. And we're all working on areas of our life to get free. Amen? We've been made free, but we have to learn how to live free. And that's what this is all about today. And that's why we exist, this Church on the Rock, to help people know God, and number 2, find freedom in God. So look what the Bible says. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. Isn't God a blessing today? You see, God is not our problem. And we'll never get free as long as we're blaming God for our problems. Oh, I'm going to come over here and say that. That's right. We'll never get free as long as we're blaming God, blaming ourselves, or blaming other people. As long as I have a victim mentality, I can never get free. So my approach to God, my mindset of God, has to be, oh, what a blessing God is in my life today. God is for me, God is in me, God is with me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, how blessed, what a blessing he is. He's the Father, God is the Father of our what? Master. Church, our emotions are not to be our master. Our emotions are not to be our master. Our circumstances are not to be our master. The world culture, pop culture, is not to be our master. There's nothing to master over us except Jesus Christ. God wants you to be free. To live not free is to live constrained and restricted and held back. To live free is to live unrestrained, unconstricted. Isn't that awesome? Abundant life, living a free life. And it says that he's the Father of our master. You got to make sure that he's your master and not your emotions, not your feelings, not your past, not your negative experiences, not your hurts, hang-ups, none of that. He's your master today. In fact, let's just say it. Jesus is Lord over my life. Ooh, you just made the devil mad. You know, Pew Research last week said 51% of Christians in America don't believe in the devil. 51% of American Christians do not believe there is a devil. I'm here to tell you, there's a real devil out there, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. But greater is he that is in you. Amen. So he says, Jesus Christ, and look what he does. He takes us. What happens, Pastor, today? If I give my life to God, you know what's going to happen? He's going to take you places you could have never gone on your own. He's going to do things with you. He's going to do things in you. I'm excited. He's going to do things through you that never would have happened on your own. This is the Bible. He's going to take you to the high places, going up to the high places. A blessing, not lack, not curse, not disappointment, not depression, not void, not lack. You're not going to miss out on anything by selling out to God today. So he takes you to high places of blessing in him. Verse 4, we got to hustle long before he laid down the earth's foundation. He had us in mind. He'd settled on us to make us the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy, to be made whole. I like that. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. To make us whole and holy by his love. Verse 5, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us. Boy, aren't you glad you're in a family today? He decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. Next verse. He wanted us, it's good to be wanted, church. He wanted us. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. This is all Bible now. Verse 7. Because, here we go, of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, what happened? We're a free people. Sounds like Dr. King, right? Free, free at last. We are a free people. Well, if we've been made free, then how come we can't live free? If we've been made free, how come we can't live free? Because some people say, you just got to live with that. I don't think you got to live with that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So notice, because of the cross, we've been made a free people. We've been given the gift of freedom to live an unrestricted life, an unconstrained life, an abundant life, a full life, a happy life, a successful life. He says, free of all penalties, punishments chalked up by all our mistakes. You see, I am where I am today because of my wrong choices. Now, I know none of y'all made any, but I made enough for you and me both. Okay? Number two, or we're where we're at today, not only because of the wrong choices that I've made, you've made, but we're where we're at today because of what other people did to us. Or we're here where we're at today, the condition that we're in today, because of what the devil has done to us. But I want you to know the good news is that you and I can be free of our own mistakes. We can be free of what other people did to us. And we also can be free, rise above, and restored from whatever the devil has stolen from us. Now, why does Church on the Rock exist? We exist to help people find freedom. Now, I want to read to you a letter from a member of our church. I'm not going to give you her name, but I want to read you her story of her journey of finding freedom at Church on the Rock. This is why we exist. She says, as a child, for the most part, I was a very happy one. The baby of five children. We were a church-going family, faithfully, but I never fully understood God. I never really had many friends because I just didn't fit in. But I grew close to these two kids down the street. I would play with them, a little girl and a boy. They were a couple years older than me. They were my only friends, my best friends. And when I was 8 years old, I was molested by the boy in the back part of my house, along with a little girl. I don't remember any of the feelings I had the day after the incident, but I know that I had stopped playing with them. I remember sometime later that it had come out that the boy was doing these things to his cousin. They moved away. I don't remember thinking about them again. I told my parents about this incident many years later. I was about 13 or 14. The incident alone had affected me emotionally and mentally. You know, isn't it interesting that when we have a negative experience, it can create negative habits in our life? Think about that. She goes on to say, the incident alone affected me emotionally and mentally in my teenage years that I never really had to that moment come to Jesus that I had heard about in church. I had continued my life in a rebellious, dangerous way, a life of sex, drugs, lesbianism, drinking, partying, but still going to church every Sunday, trying to fill the void that no thing or no one could fill but God. I got pregnant at 21, trying to hold on to a man. I struggled for some time on whether or not to keep the baby just because I wanted someone there so badly. I never prayed or cried out to God so much in my life. My heart was broken at my decision not to have the child, abortion. I prayed after that God would forgive me. I knew it was wrong to do that in the eyesight of God. I asked God to have mercy on me. Almost 2 years later, I moved into my own apartment, still doing those things I shouldn't be doing. Finally, God got me alone. And immediately, my life changed. Now listen to what she says, how freedom came in her life, because they're all in these 5 points I'm going to give you. She goes on here to say that he began to change my mind and renew me. All of a sudden, I didn't want to party. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to do the things that are world, the world that I used to do. I began to pray. I began to worship God. I cried out to God alone in my apartment at night, asking God to help me out of this situation, asking God to change my surroundings. My urge for the things of old and for the other friends, relationships and mentors, the old left, and I had a new urge for new relationships and new mentors. Everything I had asked for when I cried those nights, God has given to me. I connected with a group of young women who were just like me. They may not have the exact same stories, but they were chasing after God. Ooh, I like that. As much and as more as me. They became my sisters. We had lunch together, Bible studies. We went to church together. We grew, and all of a sudden, I had brothers in Christ, and we love God, and we worship together. And God has poured into me so much so that I've given my body entirely to God, promising Him to stay pure in my mind, my body, my spirit. I've continued to keep my promise to God, and I've been growing, changing, and molding ever since. I'm so thankful for Church on the Rock. It's a home where I feel at home. Then she gives a scripture. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. She ends with this. God will give us the things of His heart for us. He knows what we need. All of these trials I've had in my life, I can't even imagine my life without God now. He saved me. He healed me. I claim that God is for me. He wrote my story, and God is for you. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. That's why we exist. That's why we serve and give and come to church and bring our family and do it even when it's inconvenient and work. Why? Because we want to help people like her find freedom. So I want to give you five ways to do it. It's up on the screen. Number one, and these are takeaways. These are things that you and I can do. Number one is you got to have a right heart. Everyone say that, please, a right heart. You got to have a right heart. Because you see, God can't change us until we allow Him to work on our heart. So if you're a note taker, write under that God's looking for an honest heart. As long as I'm blaming God, blaming others, blaming myself, then God can't set me free in the area of worry, anxiousness, overthinking, overspending, depression, pornography, alcoholism, drug addiction, temper tantrums, whatever it might be. Well, a hurt, an experience, negativity in my past, a divorce, bankruptcy, lost that deal, unanswered questions in my life. Until I get honest with God and just give it all to Him, God can't set me free. So it takes an honest heart. Number two, it takes a humble heart. I've got to ask for help. And you know what? He'll be there as quick as I ask. I got to have an honest heart. I've got to have a humble heart. Number three, I've got to have a hungry heart. And number four, I've got to have a hard-working heart. I got to work at it. So how do you and I, we've been given this freedom, but why are so many Christians bound like Lazarus with the grave clothes still around them, and they're tripping up over the same things every week for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Because they haven't learned how to walk this freedom out. And how do you do it? Number one, it starts with a right heart. Number two, it starts with right, if we have it up on the screen, please, right thoughts. Everything starts with a thought. In fact, let's just look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, with right thoughts. And here's what it says, for the weapons of our warfare, and we're in a warfare, right, church? Spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Of what? I still couldn't hear you. Of what? Strongholds. Okay, now Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, the word stronghold there is the word lies. Lies. You know, this week we honored our kingdom builders, and we brought in Lee Cockrell, the former executive vice president of Disney World, over 70,000 employees. And we brought him in to honor our kingdom builders at Church on the Rock. I wanted to bring him in, and he cost tens of thousands of dollars to bring him in for 1 hour. And we did that because we want to invest in our kingdom builders, help them with their careers. We're sitting there at the banquet at Whitmore Country Club this week. He leans over to me before he goes up to speak, and he said, Dave, you know, I think most people's problem is this. I said, what's that, Lee? He said, I believe 50% of what's in our head is lies. Lee Cockrell, Disney World. He said, I think people's problem, why they don't reach their potential and they don't have a successful, happy, full life, is because half of what's in our head is lies. Amazing, isn't it? And notice, what's a stronghold? A lie. Something someone said to you that they might have done it in well-meaning, but it was a lie. You accepted it as truth, and it's crippled you from your potential thus far in your life. You heard me tell the story, you know, how when Kim and I went into the ministry, we went to our pastor, and he was well-meaning. He loved us. He's in heaven today. But he looked at us in 1975 and he said, Kim, you, Dave, you and Kim haven't got what it takes to be a pastor, teacher. You'll never make it. Don't go into the ministry. That was a lie. He was well-meaning, but that was a lie that could have been a stronghold that could have kept me out of seeing you today. Think about it. Why did we start Church on the Rock? Because we want to help people find freedom. I grew up in a great church and great people, but they taught me this lie that everything that happened to me was the will of God. They meant well. They loved me, the church, the pastor, the deacons, the families, but they taught me as a teenager growing up in that church, Dave, everything that happens to you, accept it. It's the will of God. Folks, that is a lie. Everything that happens to us is not the will of God. So for you and I to get free, we've got to get rid of the lies in our head and replace them with the truth of the Word of God. We've got to get on a Bible reading plan. We've got to get a Bible app on our smartphone and get in the Word, let the Word get in us, get some new software, and stop living a constraint, restricted life of what a coach, a teacher, a mom or a dad, a friend, a brother or a sister or a pastor spoke into our life. They meant well, but it didn't align with God's potential for your life. It was a lie. Things they said you couldn't do or you couldn't go, you'd never become. They never saw the potential. Folks, if you and I are going to get free, we've got to pull those lies down and replace them. Don't have any voids in your life. Because where there's voids, they're always filled with negativity. So you replace it with the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how do we live this out? Number one, how do we do it? I forgot already, a right heart. Number two, we do it. Can we have that back up there, please? Number two, we do it with a right thoughts. And then number three. Number three, we do it with right power. Right power. You know, here at Church on the Rock, you know, we believe in programs. We believe in 12-step programs. We have Celebrate Recovery. We have a Freedom Series, a small group on Sunday morning. We have a Baptism of the Holy Spirit class on Sunday morning. We got our small group right now, Growth Track. People are getting free in there today. We believe in all that. But folks, a program alone won't do it. Amen. It takes the power that's supernatural. It takes the power of God. Just write this down if you're a note taker. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But let me read it to you how it should be said. Where the Spirit is Lord. Where the Spirit, Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is Lord over your life, in that area, you'll experience freedom. So how do you walk that out? This morning, I'm walking my dog at 5:30, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I yield my emotions to you today. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, you're going to be the master and the ruler over my emotions today. You are Lord over my feelings today. That's how you do it. So how do we live out this freedom? We do it, number one, with a right heart. God's there when we just get honest and humble and hungry and we work at it. And then number two, with right thoughts. Everything starts with a thought. And then number three, we do it, we get free with the right kind of power. See, as a new believer, we have a new power to live this life and to walk free. And then number four, what's the fourth key? It's right friends. Oh my goodness, folks, I've counseled so many people in four decades that they'll come to Christ, they'll find God, but they'll go back to their old friends. And they think they're going to win them over. You know, you want to love your old friends and you want to pray for your old friends, but you don't want to fellowship with your old friends. You got to have some new friends to fellowship with. Birds of a feather, they flock together. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Associations determine your achievements in life. You'll never rise higher than your friends, so you better choose them wisely. Proverbs 13:20 says, wise people walk with wise people. So if we want to get free, then we need to be around free people and people who are getting in the process of getting free. Because free people, free people. Come on, somebody. So how do we walk in this as the team comes out? Then number five is right environment. The right environment. You know, if we get the environment right, God shows up. I'll say that over here. If we get the environment right, God shows up. Pastor, I can't control where I work, but you can control the beginning of your day. Pastor, I can't control my classroom or my office space or my cubicle, but you can control the beginning of your day. And the beginning of your day, if you start your day right, your day will end right. And you start your day. What's the right environment? Well, you create your environment with your words. You create your environment with your words. And what should be the words coming out of our mouth? In the morning, it should be praise unto our Most High God. Because, folks, you know that scripture. I know you know it. That scripture, it says that in His presence, every chain is broken. In His presence, every enemy, you know, that negative experience, that hurt, that hang-up, that habit, that situation, that event, whatever happened that's trying to hold you back and hold you hostage, and your past, you know, all of that. You know, when we begin to praise the Lord, anything that would hold you back can be broken in His presence. The Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, you know, He inhabits the praises of His people. What would happen if we get up the first thing in the morning and we start praising the Lord? And we just, you know, chase everything that's not godly out of the house. I'm not talking about your husband. I'm talking about, you know, spirit, attitude. You know, why don't you determine the environment of your house, of your car? Why don't you determine your day by starting off the beginning of the day by creating the right environment that sets you free? Oh my goodness, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in His presence is fullness of joy. This is the season for joy. I think every day should be full of joy for you and me. But Pastor, I don't feel like it. Well, you're supposed to be free of your emotions and give your emotions to the Holy Spirit and let Him be Lord over your emotions. And we don't do what we feel, we do what's right. And when we do what's right and align it up with God's Word, it creates an environment that will set you free. I'm out of time. Did y'all get something today? Give the Lord a good praise, would you? Stand with me, please. And can we practice that right now, just right there where you're at? We're all facing stuff this week. Why don't we just begin to praise God right now for working in our life? Thank You, Father. It's Thanksgiving. God, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence, for Your anointing. You do it right there where you're at, church. We thank You, God, that You're going to be with us this week. You're going before us this week. We release our angels to go forth. We thank You for a greater anointing, a greater presence, a greater joy, a greater strength, a greater confidence. I'm just going to praise You all by myself today, Lord. Father, we just exalt You. God, we know that if we'll create the right environment, it will bring freedom in our life. Hallelujah. 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 Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one moving. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know God. I haven't given my life to God, but I want to today. I realize that I can't get to where I'm supposed to go on my own. I need God. I can't be the person I was created to be on my own. I need God. I can't raise my family the way I should raise my family and my children and my children's children and leave a legacy. I can't do it on my own. I need God. There are areas in my life that I've listened to lies of others, of myself, of the devil, of our culture, and I realize they're lies to hold me down. Pastor, I want to give my life to God today. You're telling me God is for me. You're telling me, whether you're a lesbian, a homosexual, an alcoholic, a drug addict, whatever you might be today, you're telling us, Pastor, that God has a purpose for my life. That's what I'm telling you. That I can be free. I've been told I have to live with this. No, 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 no. You can be free. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. It's going to take day by day and God in the center, but you can. Or you might be here today and you're a Christian, but you say, Pastor, wow, Bible lab? What's that? Read my Bible? I haven't had time. I talked to the Holy Spirit? I didn't know we could. Pastor, I've been told that I'm stuck and God's mad at me and I failed God, made mistakes. Those are lies. God loves you. You can't do anything to keep God from loving you. You say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. We're going to help you. We're going to pray with everyone here today. Church, let's help them right now. Let's all pray this prayer together. Let's say it out loud together. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I yield my life to you. Take my life and do something great. In Jesus' name, amen.